Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And we coming from our basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never going to get without the circus. I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm going to.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling strong, virile, vigorous, powerful.
You look all of those things. I look at you in my Skype spot, and I'm like, man, Eric is looking, you know, just vivacious tonight.
Straight beast mode.
Yeah. It's been a bit of a beast mode weekend for yours truly. Made the long trip over to Chicago. I guess down and over would probably be more accurate.
I'm judging by your scenery that you're back home in the TC.
I am home in Traverse City. Got back about 4 p.m. this evening. Got ourselves some dinner. Now we're just settling in. But
it's all work for you, getting right to it with the podcast.
Yeah, I was all business. I told you coming down, I need you to do the outline because gosh darn it, I'm gonna be on the road.
So if this show sucks, yeah, it's on me.
Well, no one will pin it on. But anyway, went to Chicago, watched some basketball with some of my friends, got to see the river. You know how they turn the river green for St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, yeah. Is that cool?
It was awesome. It was the greenest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And we went on Sunday morning. So, like, it had kind of started to dissipate, I'm assuming, a little bit since when they did it. It was wild. It was – and you know how much I love bridges. It was a good morning for me. Yeah.
I guess I didn't know how much you love bridges, but bridges are a good edifice,
yeah,
in my estimation.
Bridges are
top 10 for sure.
Bridges are one of my things. Like, I like skylines, I like baseball, and I like bridges.
And you like zoos.
And zoo, yeah, animals, of course. Everyone loves animals. They should, anyway.
You're a renaissance man. You like lots of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're a lover, not a hater.
Yes, that's true. Saw lots of basketball. Got to see Michigan State go down. I'm sure that made you happy.
Ooh, sad story.
Yeah. That was did you watch it?
No.
It was one of those basketball games that, you know, it doesn't matter who you're necessarily rooting for. Just the basketball being played was one of the, just like an assault on the senses. Like my eyeballs bled after that game. It was so terrible.
So intense. Yes.
Yeah. But the undeniable star from the weekend, of course, was Sister Jean. Did you see Sister Jean from Loyola?
She's like, I'm familiar. Yeah.
Like the million-year-old chaplain. kind of became the Loyola mascot over the course of the games. I feel like they always are going to these kids people in the stands that are like, they make them almost the mascots of the team. Like the team, you know, Houston that Michigan was playing, they kept showing the one player's little brother who also had the mini man bun. I'm always happy to see. I was going to say always happy to see the kids crying. That sounds really, really terrible. I guess I don't hate it when the kids are crying in the stands. But they
do cut to a lot of fan reaction shots these days. Yeah, they want the emote, you know?
Definitely. But I like Sister Jean. And then they interviewed her in the post game, and she only has Loyola going to the Sweet 16. You know, because Granny ain't right. about to lose her bracket pool over some over their sorry butts.
No, Sister Jean ain't messing around. She doesn't have time for your shenanigans. She
literally doesn't have time for much, yeah.
She does not have time. The clock is ticking. She's in God's waiting room. That is for sure. Did you see where they asked her about, looks like you're kind of a national star now? And she responds, I think you mean international star. Sister Jean dropping straight fire.
Yeah, Sister Jean might need to work on some humility.
Nah. Hey, yeah. When you're that old, I say you just do what you want. I mean, no one can really get under your skin because, you know, you're going to be gone in a while anyway. You just live your best life and stick it to the man. Yeah,
Sister Jean certainly is living her best life right now. No doubt about it.
Freedom rockets. I mean, this woman is a nun, you know, so she doesn't have to put up with your crap. She's lived a holy, virtuous life. It's fine.
So that brings us this week's leadoff question. Who's your favorite old person?
Okay, so I thought about this a little bit. I think the obvious answer on a Tigers podcast would be somebody like Al Kaline or Willie Horton. And those guys are both kind of good representatives for the club, right? They represent the D. Al Kaline is helping on the fields, but doesn't get in the way too much. They showed a nice video of him taking some players out for dinner, which is cool. Al Kaline is a pretty class act. But my kind of obscure, I don't know how obscure this is, but my favorite old person is Daniel Kahneman. Oh. Daniel Kahneman.
Okay.
And he's only loosely associated with baseball because Michael Lewis recently wrote a book about him and his late partner, Amos Tversky. And Michael Lewis is famous, of course, for Moneyball. If you're familiar with the Moneyball book. So Daniel Kahneman he's still living. He's 84 years old. He's an Israeli psychologist, and he was really instrumental in creating the field of behavioral economics, which I find very fascinating. So Richard Thaler Sussheim, or I forget how you say his name. But Kahneman was really instrumental in this kind of new field. He won a Nobel Prize, and he's still alive, kicking, giving talks and stuff. He wrote a book, which I read not too long ago, called Thinking Fast and Slow. It's kind of psychology. So he's one of these really interesting kick-ass old guys. He grew up at the tail end of World War II and kind of faced all the Jewish hardships associated with that kind of life. A fascinating guy. So he's my favorite old guy.
Dang. When I came up with this question, I did not think we were getting into behavioral economics. That one has caught me by a little bit of surprise.
Sorry, that was a little long-winded, but he's my favorite old guy. So I had to kind of, you know, introduce him a little bit.
That's a very good one. Now we're all Googling that. We're not.
Hey, if you're half as smart as Danny Kahneman, you're living a good life.
So obviously my overall favorite person is my grandpa, but that's not – I mean, that's – everyone has a grandpa.
Yeah, I guess I didn't count grandpas.
So I wanted to establish him as the number one old person, and now I'm moving on to somebody else. My pitching coach in college was conservatively – 85. I don't know. He's a very, very elderly man. He had a lot of sayings that a lot of them revolved around Bob Feller, who I'm assuming he watched in his prime. Maybe watched him come up as a prospect.
Sayings. These are like proverbs or aphorisms about pitching or about life or
all of the above. He had plenty to say about everything. But my favorite, he didn't see real well. My favorite story about him. I was sitting next to him in the dugout. I was frequently a bullpen pitcher, and in college, you frequently do not have a separate bullpen. So you're in the dugout with everyone else. And I was sitting next to him, and he asked me what pitcher was on the mound because he couldn't see from the dugout to the mound. So I told him, Coach Seiler, that's Mike. He's out there on the mound. So that's my favorite old person.
If you got to help the old folks out.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. Did you spit out an ice cube?
Yeah, I had too many in my mouth at the same time, and I figured if I was going to talk again, I probably shouldn't have a mouthful of ice cubes.
What's the cutoff there? Like, is three ice cubes
fine? Three is too many. Well, it's not just numerical. It's also volumetric.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, big ice cubes, obviously, you can have fewer in your mouth and it take up more space. Okay. Instagram, Jordinho, or at Jordinho4. I actually posted a picture of the Green River on there this evening. So if you're curious about that, go see me and my friends. Not Eric. It's other friends. It's not Eric. You won't see his mysterious face on there. Facebook.com/podcastianos. And we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, we have two reviews from last week. Are you ready?
Really? Since?
Since.
Fancy.
So we are now up to 69 ratings.
Nice.
Not making that up.
Nice.
All right. Here are the reviews. The first one comes from Ron Gardenhire's brain, which I figured you people would enjoy. The review is titled Podcasting Without Pretense. This is what he has to say. They don't take themselves too seriously, and sometimes they are downright silly. Us? Never. But very enjoyable Tiger's Talk. Highly recommended. So thank you to the cranium of our manager, Ron Gardenhire. We appreciate that. Yes. And the second one comes from Jordan Ryan, 6969420. And
nice year.
The title is Eric is a pretentious D for being too ... I think you can only put so much.
What was that? What did you say?
Eric is a pretentious D for being too. And I'm assuming the rest of the title was cut off. So we'll never know why you're a pretentious D.
Whatever it is accurate. Yeah, it's fine.
And the review is, it was great minus all of the Tigers talk. So,
well, hey, we can get rid of that. I mean, that's, you know, if that's what's holding us back, we can just cut the dead weight, I suppose.
It very well may be. And I just took a look at our bracket group. You and I are actually tied after the first weekend.
Really?
At 360.
Tender moment.
So all of our picks were equally as very good. Is that what you called yours? Very good picks? Some very, very correct?
Correct. Very correct. Yeah. Just following up on your Green River thought, I mean, is The Fugitive the best St. Patrick's Day movie?
Sure.
You're familiar with The Fugitive?
I'm familiar that it is a movie, but as you know, I don't watch movies because they're too long.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that two-hour time commitment, that's a big, big chunk of your life.
It is, yeah. No,
that's like four episodes of The Simpsons.
Well, I don't know about The Simpsons, but I would take a 30-minute show over a movie any day of the week. Even an hour show sometimes is too long for me, which makes a lot of sense considering my favorite sport takes roughly 3 hours to complete.
Yeah.
But something new's happening every inning in that, so.
Yeah. That's exciting.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
All right. So once again, we are edging ever closer to the merciful end of spring training. I feel like every year we get to this point, we're like, okay, let's just speed through this. And, you know, the regular season is about to start. Guys are dropping like flies, and we're down to, like, what, 70 guys in camp, plus the randos that are still getting in as
the
reserves.
The randos.
But there are some subtle signs that we are, you know, edging towards opening day, like the big storyline this week that Jordan Zimmermann was named as the opening day starter. Now, I don't know if you saw Tigers Twitter, but they weren't such a fan of this announcement. What was the first thing you thought when you saw this?
The first thing I thought was like, why? I mean, I don't get it much. It's very clear in my mind that Michael Fulmer is our best starting pitcher.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
It seems very clear. Like, does the Tigers management either not see it the same way that I do, in which case they're dumb, or two, they're leaning on tradition or you know, protocol of letting the old guy start and claiming that he deserves it or has earned it, in which case they're also dumb. So I felt like they were a little dumb about this. But, I don't know, Fulmer is such a patient, gentle, Ron Swanson-type soul that I don't think he's going to get too pissy about it. And he didn't, from his quotes.
No, he definitely did. I think the big thing it comes down to is, like, we're going to lose a lot of games. Does it matter if Jordan Zimmerman is the first guy to take a loss, or Michael Fulmer is the first guy to take a loss. Like, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm a little bit too of a pragmatist. Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't actually matter. I mean, it is. It is one of those things. Baseball has some of these ceremonial things that are like honors. You know, it's an honor to hit cleanup. Mm-hmm. It's an honor to, you know, start on opening day. Zimmerman clearly has not earned necessarily that honor. But I don't know. When a team is so bad, like Ulysses Chacin started on opening day last year for the Padres. Like there has to be some sort of devaluation of it at this point. I don't know. I have a hard time getting super worked up about this. But I did have kind of a thought on the subject. It almost makes me wonder if it's like them trying to push him toward Zimmerman, speaking of here, towards
greatness,
being an ace. Yeah, it's almost kind of like a fake it till you make it situation. Like, we're going to treat you as an ace. You're going to go out there and you're going to be our guy. And, you know, maybe a little extra encouragement. I mean, Zimmerman doesn't exactly seem like the sentimental type, but who knows? Maybe a little extra encouragement and a little bit of responsibility. Like when you hand a soccer player the captain's armband, maybe there's like a little extra onus. I don't know. Like, I guess
so. This is like when they batted Ryan Rayburn second. Remember that experiment? Like, oh yeah, we're going to prop him up. So you think maybe this is not fueling his ego? You think maybe it's propping up his confidence?
I don't necessarily think that's what they're trying to do. I think that could be a result. I guess that's where I'm at.
All right.
Hopefully. Maybe that is the case. Maybe there's a lot more going on upstairs than we give these guys credit to. I say to myself that, but I don't actually believe that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, Fulmer took it in stride. I have a hard time finding much of anything that I don't think Michael Fulmer would take in stride.
He's pretty cool. He seems super chill. He's just going to grow facial hair and pitch. I mean, that's all he really cares about, it seems like to me. I found it fascinating that Zimmerman seemed like the news was he was cued into this earlier. But even when they interviewed him, he seemed a little sheepish about it. Like, oh, yeah, Fulmer probably has earned it. But that seemed a little peculiar to me. But,
yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it could also be Michael Fulmer's still a young kid. Like, obviously, there are young guys that start on opening day. But maybe it's a symbolic way of taking some of the pressure off him. I don't know. Like,
this is the same reason they're reluctant to bat Candelario second. It's just because he's young, which is, again, stupid to me, but whatever.
Speaking of, let's move on to Gardenhire consulting the guys upstairs about the lineup. I was just thinking to myself, do you know what a guy who really understands the process of what goes on upstairs refers to the guys upstairs as?
The guys upstairs. Yeah, they don't have names. They don't have an official title. They're just, you know, the ethereal, the guys upstairs with their electricity and their computing. Come on, Gardy. You can do a little better than that.
Okay, so he absolutely...
It's tongue-in-cheek, but...
He absolutely can. And I just go back and forth on the whole Gardenhire thing because I do think he is going to bring some good things to the club, and he obviously has drawbacks. But what it comes down to for me is we are going to be – oh, my dryer's done. The clothes are ready to be folded. What it comes down to for me is we are going to be a very bad baseball team for at least the next 2 years. I don't know how much it matters – you know, what the guys upstairs are telling Gardenhire between now and then. Gardenhire isn't making any personnel decisions. He's not the one that we're going to have to worry about. Is he cutting guys that the numbers like, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It really is almost the same thing with the batting order. Like, should Mikey be at the top and then Candelario and some of these high on-base percentages and say guys like Martin and Iglesias be at the bottom because that gives us the best chance to win? Yeah, yes. Obviously. That is exactly what it means. But, I mean, maybe we're all drastically underestimating how good this team can be. I don't think that's the case, but maybe we are. If that's the case, then, yeah, we absolutely should be restructuring the lineup to do that. But in the meantime, I don't know. I have a hard time getting worked up about it when, you know, if Gardenhire's terrible lineups cost us 3 games over the course of a terrible season, I don't know that I have the energy within me to get pissed about that. There's a lot of other things I think it'll piss me off more.
All right. That's fair. I still am a little pissy if Leonis Martín bats leadoff every game for us, and I guess look at his stupid face and his low on base percentage leading off for us. I'm going to be a little ornery about
I'm actually going to fight back on that point a little bit. Obviously, the career on base percentage is very low. There was a point in time when Leonis Martín was a not terrible baseball player. I'm not saying that he's going to get back to that point because, you know, if people thought he would, we wouldn't have been able to sign him for what we did. But I'm not ready to say that he's a terrible baseball player because I have seen him be a not terrible baseball player.
Is he a good leadoff hitter? Is he the leadoff hitter for our team?
I don't necessarily think he is a good leadoff hitter, but I don't look at that team and see a good leadoff hitter. I see
that's
a couple
true.
Guys.
There's
that,
nobody who's ideal.
I see a couple guys that are probably better options, but none that are so much of a better option that I'm really ready to scream about it. And that of course is forecasting Leonis Martín to get back to being good as he is right now, or what we've seen over the past couple of years. Yeah, absolutely. Like literally everyone is a better option to lead off.
But so, if the guys, the air quotes, the guys upstairs said, okay, here's what the numbers say. You should go Candelario, Cabrera, Castellanos. That's what the numbers say. That's how you should do it. And they handed that piece of paper to Ron Gardenhire. What would he do with it?
He's crumpling that up. And
he would crumple it into a ball and say, you nerds can go do your nerdy things upstairs away from me. That's what.
He'd probably give it to Bazio to look at, and Bazio would stuff it into his Diet Mountain Dew can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, that pretty much covers that subject. We'll get more into the lineup, I'm sure, as the lineup
materializes. We'll have a lot of time to talk about.
Let's talk to a guy, or about a guy who has camp has not materialized such in such a way that we would have liked, I guess. And that is Mike Fiers. Apparently he is not injured, which, if we're being completely honest, him being injured would have been a little bit of relief because he has been butt terrible. I don't even know where to start with this. I had really high hopes for him.
You did? Why?
Because he was a fresh signing and I can get talked into anybody. I mean, if we're being honest, that's fine. But
I'm a Fiers hater. I hope I never actually see Mike Fiers because he's going to look at me and say, you're a me hater.
Are you a Fiers fighter? Can I say that?
I'm a fire. No, you shouldn't, because it's probably not good. But yeah, I'm a Fiers fighter. Bad. So, he's on a slide. He's not good.
So he might start the year on the DL. That's obviously good for Daniel Norris. Is that good for the Tigers? I think it might be.
Any combination of less Fiers is gain for us. Ugh. Not feeling Fiers.
I want to go on record and say that I've done this before. I'd like to go on record and say that I think Mike Fiers will be a serviceable starting pitcher.
Yeah. For the Detroit Tigers this year. We thought that about Pelfrey too.
Yes.
Yeah. He can join Pelfrey and Suckland.
Yikes. So don't. Fiers. Yeah. The Fiers train.
Jump Fiers and Pelfrey. Stupid.
So
we got the Fiers train. Like, we're going to replace that. Replace with the Pelf train.
So speaking of Fiers, we got to get into this a little bit. Some of the various Tigers prep strategies. I think you came up with this, and I think this is really interesting. Some just different ways of looking at how to get ready for a season.
We should credit Katie Strang with The Athletic. Did you just subscribe to The Athletic? Do you do The Athletic thing?
I would love to, but I have not. Something about it costing money was the big one.
Yeah, it's real money. It's not even pretend money. But no. Katie Strang, I have a subscription to The Athletic because I'm not a poor.
Must be
nice. And I live a luxurious lifestyle.
One percenter.
I'm a one percenter for sure. But she wrote this article talking about different prep strategies. So I'm sorry. Continue with the introduction of this topic. I'm sorry.
Different prep strategies based on an article by Katie Strang that I did not read. So let's start with Mike Fiers. He is now 7 days in on being a vegan. As we all know, a lot of these alternate eating styles, different lifestyles, they're really long lasting and stuff that people really stick to. How do you think that when he continues on with being a vegan, that is going to help or hinder his baseball prowess?
The thing to me is it has nothing to do with it. It's all between your ears. Right, it's a lifestyle. It's a cultural thing. Yeah, if he thinks
I think it's a cult.
Eating, Yeah, if he thinks he's eating, you know, drinking green juice is going to give him another mile per hour in his fastball, you know what? Drink some green vegetable pulp. I don't care, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, don't give me a drink of that vegetable pulp. I don't want that crap. But if you want to drink it down, you said that Shane Green has also dabbled with veganism, which I don't think anything could possibly surprise me less.
His name is Green. Oh, right? Yeah.
Do you think that the past 7 days of him being a vegan have been responsible for his decline over the last 4 to 5 years?
No, to me, I think it's been mostly because of his sucking.
Hashtag analysis.
Right. Yeah, of course. Just like you broke down Reyes' swing last week.
So here's the deal with Fires being a vegan. It does concern me the lack of protein that he will intake. But
it does not concern you.
I don't foresee this lasting. If we were talking about it next
week, he already
week,
snuck a couple
surprised.
Shrimp. He snuck a couple shrimp.
Shrimp
you
is
can't
not
be a
meat.
Vegan.
Shrimp isn't shrimp meat.
It's stew meat.
No,
come on.
Sea meat. Not kosher. Sea meat is not meat. It's a different thing. Land meat is meat. Sea meat is something completely different. And
like
everyone
a
knows that.
Bug. It's true. Yeah. It's a sea bug, but come exactly. on, it's meat.
Another one, Castellanos has been doing the animal flow yoga. Now, the question I have on this one, is there any benefit that is worth looking how you look while doing animal flow yoga?
I don't know. I mean, you have to be pretty strong in yourself. You have to have a good self image and strong sense of who you are to, like, wiggle around on all fours and, like, you know, get in touch with your primal self.
To be fair, Nick seems to be a fairly self-assured young man. I don't see that being a problem for, excuse me, Nicholas.
Nicholas, please, come on. Let's show some respect. But he was talking about how he sees his, like, toddler son rolling around on the floor and, you know, the idea with animal flow, I can't say it without laughing, animal flow yoga is, you know, you got to return to your more primal toddler self. And we have learned to walk forward and stand upright as adults. And we need to get back to the more compound muscular movements of our more primitive self. Come on. This is it.
It feels like the wave of the future. Just as you tell me this, I'm thinking, yes.
Yeah.
That is how we should do it. Yes, absolutely.
Pretty soon, you know, zoos are going to be running CrossFit, you know, wrestling
that could,
beavers
that,
or whatever.
That's my fine. That's my job right there. I could be the first.
Yeah, crossover appeal.
Yeah. And the other one was Candelario and his beach. Easy. In his beach workout. That one sounds the best to me because it's,
yeah, you're,
you know,
running
beach.
On a beach. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, my style would be, you know, pounding back some Coronas.
Yeah, I mean, people enjoy the beach in different ways.
But he's like running in the sand and stuff. That seems like hard work. Primitive.
They say sand is like a two steps forward, one step back kind of workout, which, you know, that does sound harder.
Good.
And then the last one, of course, was James McCann, and how he had his twins in the hospital for a while, but he would pound the weights early in the morning and then give himself to Zaxby's for a salad and take that up to the hospital. I'll tell you what, we discovered Zaxby's down in Florida, and it is several fire emojis.
I'm unfamiliar with the product.
It is primarily chicken tenders. That's kind of chicken tenders and like boneless wings. Those are their big things. They have a bunch of dipping sauces. So while you know, it sounds great when McCann says I had a bunch of salads, if he's getting a chicken salad, I don't believe they do chicken that isn't chicken tenders, which. Right. Not a dietitian, but I don't believe that's necessarily the healthiest thing in the world. But I guess at least he was pounding out the weights. Zaxby's is good. I'm a big fan. Big fan.
He gained like 20 pounds. And if you look at pictures of him, yeah, he looks like a block.
Yeah.
It's a lot of man.
Yeah, definitely in a good way.
Yeah, he's very rectangular.
I think that's what we all want to be, rectangular.
Absolutely.
Some other stories, a little bit more hard-hitting. The team announced the extension of protective netting at Comerica Park. I feel like this is one that we should definitely celebrate, but we should also be a little annoyed that we are celebrating it now and not like 5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
But
now, do you give any credit to the line of thinking that says fans, I mean, for a century, it has worked without so much netting. Fans need to pull their heads out of their phones, pay attention, and it's not right for some fans who like to get foul balls. It's not fair for them to suffer because some people are negligent in their attention. You buy in this kind of line of thinking at all?
I mean, I certainly can see where they're coming from, but here's the deal: like, it's just a classic common good. Like, you should give up a little bit to ensure the safety of all, because, you know, you say, you know, we would say they should get off their phones and watch the game, but they pay their ticket. They can fan however they want at the ballpark. If you want to be, you know, checking Twitter, I don't know, whatever else people do on their phones while you're at the ballpark, be my guest. I'm willing to forego a little bit of the experience, a little bit of, I mean, I don't care if I get a foul ball, but other people might. I'm willing to give that up, to make sure that, you know, homeboy next to me doesn't get decked in the face by a foul ball while he's, you know, posting something on Instagram. I'm okay with that.
We're in agreement on this. I mean, the foul balls can get on you so fast. Even if you're kind of paying attention, you can still get clocked to the ball. How about the argument that it kind of obstructs your view?
I agree to a certain extent. I mean, you can still see through nets. Like, it's not, yeah, a wall.
Well, in the press release from the Tigers, kind of touted their thinner gauge, however many mils thickness. Like, this is the ultimate in protective netting technology.
It's like thread count. The higher it is, the better the sheets.
I will tell you, it's important to have a good thread count on your betting. No Martha Stewart. But
sounds,
I mean,
like a man
take
who
life
knows.
Seriously.
And the last little bit on the serious stuff here, I have Ronnie Rodriguez is a rapper. How did we not know that until now?
I feel like this is right down your avenue.
Yeah,
I feel like you should be all over this.
Yeah,
you know, you're down with the youths, aren't you?
I don't know that Ronnie Rodriguez constitutes a youth. Dude's like, he's old. He's old.
Oh, ouch. He's a hip hop artist. He's with the Drake and the Migos and the big, medium, and small Sean's. I mean, you should know. You should be over this. Come on. You're like our reporter for such things.
Dude's a SoundCloud rapper. He ain't a real rapper. You get something on the air and then I'm listening.
That's gonna a SoundCloud rapper. Ouch.
And I say that as somebody who once a week posts a bit of audio to SoundCloud.
Yes. You SoundCloud podcaster, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. No shame. No shame.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, why don't we move on to your beef of the week?
Beef of the week. You know, we just got done talking a little bit about music and SoundCloud. I'd like to shift gears a little bit to something far more complex than SoundCloud and far more frustrating, and that is iTunes.
How does this now, not turn into an old man rant?
Apple has become rich and famous for their elegant design and the simplicity and beauty of their objects. I own a iPhone.
I'm looking it at it.
Yeah, it's in my hand often during the day. I find it a beautiful and convenient piece of technology. How can they get some things so right, but iTunes is completely indecipherable? It's almost to the point you cannot use it. Like, you pull up iTunes, what's the first thing that you see? It is time to update iTunes. And you can't just update iTunes. You got to put, QuickTime or whatever is with it. Like, I swear, every other time I try to pull up iTunes, it prompts me for an update. Couldn't you get it right, like, once in a while, Apple? Like, try to get an update that serves you for, you know, maybe 6 months. Do a good job at the beginning. Okay, so once you update or not update, like I do, you don't know where to go. Where's my music? I don't know. You got to pull some menu. Like, then there's images. It's just indecipherable. Like, some of your music's in a file, and then, but it's so you can't find your album. Well, you know, and then there's syncing. Okay, how do I sync my phone? Like, I don't want to plug my phone in because I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't find the menu or anything.
Let me stop you there. Have you consulted with your children and maybe see if they could help you with some of these tasks?
Well, listen, I am a competent computer user. I can use Spotify. Spotify does not baffle me in the same way that iTunes does. It's poor design. It's poor design. Like, you go to the store and you can't find even to leave a review on our very highly rated podcast.
69 ratings, yeah.
Nice. You have to, like, go 4 or 5 steps to even find it, and then you got to click over to the thing and find another thing. Like, if I just want to listen to our podcast sometimes, and everybody would want that, obviously, I just go over to SoundCloud or something. Like, iTunes is indecipherable. Oh, it's just so shameful that the once great iPod iTunes combo has degraded into an indecipherable mess. I hate iTunes. It's stupid. It's the beef of the week.
Now, have you found that this problem has gotten worse since Steve Jobs, and I'm using air quotes here, died?
What do you think? He didn't die? He's like Tupac?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like in Barbados or Cuba or something?
I'm not saying he's for sure not dead. I'm just saying we don't know for sure that he is dead. That's where I come down on this. Just like the moon. I don't know for sure that
we didn't
go to the
moon. You don't think the moon is dead?
I don't think for sure that we didn't go to the moon, but I definitely don't think for sure that we did go to the moon. It's logic. Anyway, that's not what this show's about. Steve Jobs not being dead is what this show is about.
Would you agree that iTunes is trash?
No, I have no idea where this came from. I have no problem with iTunes whatsoever.
Fine. This is all the crotchety.
I am a competent computer user, and I have a MacBook.
Listen, which I use other computer applications in my life and don't have issues. It's just iTunes is stupid.
They probably heard you say that and is giving you issues on purpose. They listen to us. You know that. They listen to us.
Yeah, don't anthropomorphize your computer. It hates that.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about the crap I saw on the side of the road while running. So the last run in Florida. So I'm running. I run past the Rays stadium. I get about a half mile beyond it, and I come across. So picture.
Are you talking
this.
About the Trop?
No, their spring training stadium.
Oh yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
So there, it's just your typical sidewalk, you know, concrete paved or whatever, you know, room for, you know, one person to go each way. So on this you know, gray pavement, there is a box of Chick-fil-A nuggets. There is an open sauce and a like half eaten nugget on the ground. Like, honestly, it looks like somebody was having a Chick-fil-A picnic.
You know what happened, don't you?
What?
They were raptured. It's pretty clear.
It's pretty much the only option. But that's what it looks like.
You missed the rapture.
Somebody was having a picnic and thought, "Oh crap, I got to go." Dropped their nugget and just bailed. It was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in my entire life.
You witnessed evidence of the rapture.
Yeah. I'm sorry, folks. We all missed it.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Okay, let's move on to some Twitter questions.
Yeah, this will be fun.
As I say that, how about you give me a second, and I'll pull them up.
You know, I'll give the play-by-play. He's holding up his telephone. He kind of gave it a blow. I don't know what that was about.
There was a little bit of something on it.
Yeah, okay. So now he's pushing buttons, it appears like. He's very focused. And
I'm focused at all times, obviously.
A look of seriousness on his face.
I've made it to the likes on our Twitter page.
This is sophisticated business, friends.
Okay.
This isn't... Yeah.
We're ready.
Oh, he's ready.
Enough of the play-by-play. Let's move along. Caleb York asks us, coolest name on the spring training roster. My money's on Nico Goodrum. What say you? First of all, we haven't gotten into Nico enough. Nico is my guy. Nico hit another bomb the other day. Dude's going to make the club, and I'm not convinced that he's not starting on opening day. Don't at me.
Lay off the drugs, Paul.
You lay off
the drugs.
He's
not starting. He may not even make the team because Ronnie El Felino, the rapper, is probably got a leg up on him.
Ronnie's got nothing on my boy.
I heard Nico was a little dinged.
Yeah, he had a shoulder issue. We've all been there. Who hasn't had a little bit of a shoulder?
So he's just powering through.
Yeah, that's what gamers do.
He's the good run. Top shelf.
Answer the question.
He is probably the best name because Ulrich Bojarski and Kedar Kitaguerra neither of those guys are on the spring training team.
Yeah, they're coming for him, though, I'll tell you what. I like Edwin Espinel. I think that's a cool name.
Oh, yeah. I like to go for the Espinel tap reference, but, you know, if he was going to turn it up to 11,
that's
maybe.
Good. That's pretty good.
I don't know.
I didn't see that one coming. That's good. Jeremy Troy asks us, does Grandpa Clem Pert and Family Heating and Cooling finally take over the Sam Bernstein Law Firm as the most advertised in FSD? A dark horse local/regional advertiser, forgive me if you guys don't see these since you're both in different parts of the state. Oh, we see them.
Oh, yeah, you can't get away from them. We're not going to sell you anything you don't need or want, you know, Grandpa.
You know what somebody who would sell you something you don't need or want would say? That they're not going to sell you something you don't need or want.
Yeah. How big is their family? I mean, they're having these commercials. I'm assuming that's garnering some business. I mean, you can't just send a second cousin out to fix your plumbing every time you call. I mean, they got to have some other people involved.
Yeah, if I'm not getting a direct relative, even a second cousin, I feel like is too much of a stretch.
You got shafted by family.
But the thing is, as
bullying.
Business grows up, their ability to have more offspring will also go up, you know, more means, and then there will be more people
to provide
to heat and cool. So I think that's what we have to look forward to.
Now, what's with Eastern Michigan like? You just keep it in the family? Can't you just run a business without, like, keeping all your prodigy involved? Like, with Bernstein and with the heating and cooling business? Like, branch out a little bit. It's fine.
Is it, though? I don't know. I mean, these two companies seem to have it pretty well figured out, and they keep it all in the family.
Well, I mean, the Tigers with Avila and Alex, I mean, I suppose that is the way to do things, you know?
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Anthony Troya asks us, did you guys stay up for the U of M Houston game? If so, what was your reaction to the last second bucket?
Man, I'm too old for that. I was sleeping. Sorry.
I stayed up for the game, and I have to admit, I jumped up and down like a little girl. First of all, that the shot went in, and second of all, that it was my guy Jordan Poole. I love Jordan Poole.
Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. Beeline diagnosed the situation correctly. He absolutely has an overdose of swag. So I want to get your take on the UMBC Twitter account. You said that you were following them. You're liking a little retriever magic. The Twitter account, maybe for my taste, got a little mouthy, maybe a little bit beyond banter, if you will. What was your take on that? I thought that was really interesting.
I thought it was fun. I thought he did a pretty good job. I mean, just like promoting the academics at UMBC, I think was kind of fun. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you you know, outkicked your coverage a little bit, but I think he was fine. I mean, you're only going to do it once in a decade or more. I mean, this is the first time it's happened in 130 some opportunities. You know, go for it. Live your best life, UMBC Twitter guy.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the case. When you said outkicked his coverage, I feel like that was definitely accurate too. I don't know that he was quite as funny as he maybe thought he was, but yeah, you pull an upset like that, you pretty much have the license to do whatever you want. Gibby at Bill Gibbard asks us, are all the potholes fixed between Toledo and Comerica Park, given back and forth that is likely upcoming? Tell/sell us on the farm, Seawolves, Whitecaps.
The Danny Worth Memorial Highway. Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you live in the Grand Rapids area, get out to see the Whitecaps. Last year, they were awesome. The experience is awesome. Here's the thing. It's baseball in person. It's a great stadium. It's a fun product. Just get out and see them.
You have some goofy food. They always do that upright. They have between innings shows. It's going to keep your kids mildly occupied. Minor League Baseball is a underrated joy.
I love minor league baseball. And I haven't been to Erie. I would assume it's probably similar. Toledo is less so of the gimmicky stuff, but still a little bit of it. It's a little bit more professional. It's a cool stadium. It's not necessarily a great atmosphere, but it's kind of got the whole old, like, kind of hipstery vibe to it. I dig it.
Yeah,
But here's the thing. Like, if you're going to a minor league game, yes, you want to see great baseball. You want to see our prospects, but like, I don't know. It's more of an experience going there as opposed to, like, I don't know. Just take it all in, enjoy it. Like, it's fun. Maybe more
you're
so
less
than
worried
it is
about the outcome of the game and the performances of a particular player. You can kind of just enjoy your experience.
Absolutely. Connor Devins asked us, who is Gerson Moreno?
The name sounds familiar. Does he play for us?
Yeah, he's a pitcher in our organization.
Well, there you go. I had that mostly.
Between you and me, Connor, I'm not sure it's a name you're ever going to need to know.
Ouch.
There's some talent there, but not sure that's ever a name that we're gonna be too bothered with.
Thanks for keeping us accountable, though.
Yeah,
we appreciate that. Yeah.
At John Fine 2 asks us, who's better looking, Eric or Jordan? Asking for a friend.
It's Jordan without a doubt. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm younger. I got the edge.
Ouch. Yeah, but true.
So yeah, we'll put that to a Twitter vote. It'll be a picture of me versus the Phil Coke hat.
I suppose nobody wants to. Does anybody care? Nobody cares. I'm not gonna post selfies. Nobody cares.
I think they do. Tech Jansen asks us thoughts on the new hats, and then there's a side by side comparison of the new hats and the old hats.
Bad.
Yeah, not great. I like I like the smaller one. I don't know. I don't necessarily. I'm not like.
You were gonna say you like the smaller D, but then you wussed out.
I didn't say that. You said that.
Yeah.
You said that. I said that. I didn't say that. Yeah. The smaller ones are better because older is, you know, traditional. Yeah. Brett Yoder asks us: is Jordan Zimmermann the most undeserving opening day starter in the history of baseball?
No. No, it's not even particularly close.
I have checked the history of baseball, and yes, he is. No, I'm kidding. I have not checked the history.
He's not even the worst Tiger starter in the last 20 years.
Steve Sparks started on opening day 1 year.
Oh, yeah. So Zimmerman is a legitimate, even if a little long in the tooth, but he's a legitimate ace. He was a starter. I mean, his years with the Nationals, he was extraordinary. He's a perfectly fine pitcher.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Or was. I don't know.
Call Jax asks us, am I a Tiger homer or does Cabrera have one more monster year in him? 310, 30 homers, 80 walks?
That's not beyond comprehension. I think he could have it, sure.
I could see him having any of those three. I don't necessarily see all of them. Like, I could see the average coming back. I could see the power coming back, but I don't necessarily see both of them coming back. Which,
yeah,
I feel like
maybe,
right. I feel like at this age and his you know, swing ability at this point, he might need to kind of focus on one or the other.
He's more fit and athletic than Big Poppy.
That's true. But Poppy just had that.
He had he had huge years.
He had
too.
Just that natural up. I don't know. That swing lent itself more towards gaudy home run numbers, whereas Miggy's swing, I would say, more lends itself towards gaudy batting average numbers.
Well, that's fair.
John Fine, back in touch, says, gotcha. Question, which current Tiger would be able to successfully wrestle a bear? Which is the question we've all been waiting to hear an answer on.
I don't know, Fulmer, maybe?
I was thinking probably Alex Wilson.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's...
Barry.
Oh. And you thought my Fires Fighter one was bad.
He's not even on the current Tiger, sorry.
Yeah. Billy Robinson asks us, if Ron Gardenhire were a character from such films as Smokey and the Bandit or Every Which Way But Loose, which would he be? You're
Do you
kinda,
have any movie references from like this millennia? I don't know these.
I have not seen either of these either because...
I'm uncultured.
Yeah, because these are, I believe, films. Yeah, they're movies, so I haven't seen them. Let's see. At Nicholas Haller asks us, what would it take to get a YouTube version of the show?
Money?
I was going to say financial contribution.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't know. It's something I could look into if there was a lot of expressed interest. I feel like it would probably be extra work and I'd have to like groom myself. But
you know, when they talk about minor leaguers, they talk about hashtag want. Do we have the want? I mean,
I think we have some want. I don't know if we have enough want.
I don't think we have enough want.
Yeah. Maybe we'll put up a Twitter poll. Do you actually want to see our faces? I feel like that's a bad idea. And the last one comes from Adam Langworthy. He asks, will Mike Fiers become the new Brad Penny? Are you also Justin Upton levels of concerned about Franklin Perez's injury? That's a deep cut. I appreciate that one.
Yeah, thank you. I think Fiers sucks, to answer the first question. So kind of yes. And all right. Who was it? I think it was Henning or McCoskey's all wringing their hands about Franklin Perez. Let's be real. We weren't going to see him until the middle of next year making a significant contribution. Maybe he gets a cup of coffee the end of this year. So as long as he doesn't have any lasting permanent injury, I think it's not an issue. And I really don't want to hear your lose a half a year of development noise. He's got to fill out emotionally, mentally, and physically. And all the extra pitches, I feel like, are kind of a minor component of his maturation.
And to be honest, it's not the end of the world to lose, you know, to not have him using all those extra bullets up in the minor league. Like, yes, he is going to miss some game time and how you deal with different situations, but it's not like he's not going to be with the team watching baseball. You can learn a lot just from being around baseball as it's happening, and he will still be doing all of those things. Yeah, I completely agree. The losing the half a year or six to eight weeks of development, I think that's noise. I don't know that there's anything in that.
I'm not wringing my hands, primarily because I wasn't going to see him in the original situation, and I'm not going to see him now. So for me, the thing that the world revolves around is not changing because it's about me.
Yeah, that's the end of the Twitter questions. Do you have any questions for me that you'd like answered?
Is your Twitter game strong? How's your brand? Are you advancing your brand?
I would say it's
personal brand is important.
I'd say my personal brand is pretty strong. I think my Instagram game is a little bit hotter than my Twitter game. Okay. I came up with some fire, I thought, on Saturday with the whole Sister Jean thing, but got a lot of negative responses to that.
Come on, you got to keep that brand, personal brand, strong. Do you have a personal logo? You know, like LeBron or Cabrera. You should think about that.
Should just be my face. Just this.
Yeah. People will be swarming that.
Yeah.
I mean, bees to pollen.
Let's wrap this up. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23, where the Twitter game is, of course, strong. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, where the Instagram game is even stronger, I am at Jordinho4, and I believe Eric is at ComericEric. Do you post?
I should
on there?
Post something. Yeah, I should. I should post something.
Take a picture and post it.
I'll do that.
And if you would, we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And like I said in previous weeks, if you do that, take a screenshot of it, tweet it to us, and we will read it out. And you can become Twitter famous and famous over the airwaves of the internet, and all of your friends will be jealous.
Maybe.
Yeah. With that being said, anything else to say before we get out of here for the week?
No.
No. All right. We will catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.